Chapter 11, Digging for Hard Evidence.
All right, so let's just check out where we are so far. You've been gathering soft evidence, and it's something that you can't really measure easily. Although it's useful information, it's pretty hard to quantify. Now, what happens is colleagues will often tell you what they think you want to hear. It's not malicious, it's just part of human nature and them trying to be nice. Now, soft evidence is helpful and it's important, but if you leave it as soft evidence, it often produces soft results. So the challenge is going to be, how can you get to the heart of the matter, to what matters most? And that point is the money. Follow the money. There has to be a path that leads to some economic return. Or even the best of the ideas that you come up with will be just tossed onto the pile of nice-to-haves or coulds, but not the imperative must-haves or shoulds, and consequently, they won't receive funding. Now, before you can get directly to the money, you may have to go through carefully a few different layers. And let me teach you how to do that. There's a key phrase that you'll have to learn. In this first example, I'm going to teach you how to peel for gain. And here's the key phrase that you'll have to have memorized. It will have to be locked right into your memory chip. What would that allow you to do? One more time, here it is. What would that allow you to do? Now just imagine that you had gathered some soft evidence and one of your colleagues said, what we really need here is to improve our communication between engineering and manufacturing. Now notice, you could ask a whole bunch of questions around what communication specifically. How would you know it had improved? And all of that would be good data. Yet most people get lost in going around and collecting evidence on that level. And they're either unwilling or unable to strip away enough layers to dig down to the true impact, to the heart of the matter. So notice what this question does. Once again, here's the comment from a colleague. What we really need here is to improve communication between our engineering and our manufacturing. Okay, you're probably right on. If we improved our communication, what would that allow us to do that we can't do today? Now, in this example, a colleague is asking for something that they want, some gain, improved communication. And the business think response, rather than arguing the merits of how good the communication is already, or making any other argument for or against communication, all business think does is tries to find out, what are they getting if they get that? What would they actually achieve if they caught better communication? What would it allow them to do that they can't do now? So when digging for hard evidence, you're going to hear plenty of soft evidence along the way. It's not that frequent and maybe not that valuable. If someone says, oh, I think we need to improve morale, and someone else in the meeting rises up and says, yeah, improving morale would decrease turnover and recruiting costs, and if we could improve morale, we could add $1.269 million to the bottom line. That's a multiplier of 3.5 on return on equity. Let's do it! See, saying to your colleagues, just give me the hard evidence, show me the money, isn't exactly helpful in your discovery for hard evidence. So don't be surprised that once you peel one layer off, you'll get more information and it moves you one step closer to the heart of the matter. So you may have to use this question. And by the way, what's the question again? What would that allow you to do that you can't do today? That's the question. You may have to use that several times to peel off several layers before you hit the bedrock or you get to hard evidence. Now, given the fact that you may have to peel back several layers, be patient. This is not the time to just rip people through the process. Digging quickly and directly isn't conducive to creating the kind of rapport or understanding the context of the situation in the grander scheme of things. The simple fact that you're business thinking doesn't grant you the God-given right to interrogate people or to push or to shove their thinking. That's part of the reason that this move to hard evidence isn't one swift, lightning-fast hack for hard evidence. People need and they deserve time to work through their thinking. You want them on board with you. So gather the soft evidence, peel off one layer, get some more evidence, move a little closer to hard evidence, peel that one more time, and then they and you will start to see the connection between the soft evidence and the hard evidence together. And what starts to happen is you create a storyline. Ah, and the lights start to go up. I get it. When this happens, then it leads to that. And then ultimately it shows up here. And if we get all of those things, these are the benefits that are payoffs to our company. So the spirit of this is truly one of intense curiosity. This isn't done to agitate people or to make them feel stupid. You're digging because they have a unique perspective, and eventually you'll need to prove your case with hard data, with numbers, and you want people to be behind the story, behind the numbers.
Now, a lot of times you're working with people on the other end of the spectrum. These are the people hoping to eliminate pain, not achieve gain. They're telling you what they don't want or where it hurts. They may even use pain language, and you can pick up on it. They'll say things like, "It's killing us," or "We're bleeding." "What's really hurting us?" or "What's stopping us from?" And you can pick up on the pain language. Some people find it harder, more uncomfortable, to explore pain. See, to them, talking about the wonderful things people want to do is a lot easier than delving into the depths of what people don't want. However, because people are more motivated to move away from pain than they are toward gain, and it seems that there's a lot more discussion of pain in companies than gain, you still need to get to the core motivation, to the underlying business issues, no matter how painful they are. So here's how you dig for pain. The key phrase on the pain side is, "And then what happens?" Then what happens? Again, you can vary the phrase in a lot of ways. And what does that affect? What are the consequences of that? Where does that turn into impact? Worst case scenario, if we never change this, what will happen? There are a lot of them. The essence is, "And then what happens?" For example, if the person says, "What's really killing us is not having the right people get the right information at the right time," you can cut for pain by asking, "You know, that's interesting. And when the right people don't get the right information at the right time, then what happens?" The colleague might say, "Well, we're not getting one big picture, one holistic view of the customer when they call in, and that's killing us." So we business think it. That sounds frustrating. Definitely not what we want as a business. When we're not getting that view, that holistic view, then what happens? Well, customers are getting widely varying levels of service depending on who they talk to or where they call in the company. See, now it's soft-ish here, but it's starting to sound hard with terms like levels of service. We're getting down a little bit. So we keep business thinking. All right, that's useful. That's helpful. And because customers are getting that widely varying level of service in our company, what's showing up? Well, customers are getting frustrated, and I think our reps are getting pretty ineffective. All right, so we keep business thinking here. That's very helpful. This may seem like an obvious question, and if it's okay, I'll ask it anyway. When our customers are frustrated and the reps are ineffective, then what happens? Well, our product orders are going down, which is costing us revenue, and we're losing reps, which means our turnover is up. Bam! That's it! You've hit bedrock. You have hard evidence. You can measure those things. Now, you don't know how strongly it will register as impact yet. You just know that you've hit something hard that's measurable, or that is at least likely to be measured. So the measurable alert has gone off. And once you've heard it go off, you use a different tool to convert hard evidence to impact. That's what we'll get to in the next section. By the way, there are a whole bunch of things your colleague could have said in that last answer that would have shown up as hard evidence. It might be different with every person and each person you talk to, and within each individual department or function in your company. All you want to know, for the moment, is what that person will lead you to discover. The hard evidence that registers will be what is most important to them. And it's often something that measures the performance in their job. Could be stuff like overtime, or cost of rework, poor quality, customer complaints, product returns, whatever. Most organizations, even not-for-profits, need to pay close attention to the numbers somewhere in their business. These are the things they already measure. If what you're considering could be measured, but it's not, you need to keep digging for hard evidence until you get to something that is hard or measured. Now, the good news is that every company has some measurable, every company. They could be financial measures, operational, performance measures, technology, process measures, scorecards, customer satisfaction, whatever. Even government has measures. Exposure to media or loss of programs, there could be a number of those things. We're not saying they are the right measures, nor are we saying they're accurate, just that they all have them. As soon as you hear evidence, hard evidence, that is when the measurable alert in your system needs to go off. When doing field research, Dave and I often observe business people who've been trained in finding hard evidence, and they get close to the last level of questioning, and just before they get to the hard evidence or the measurable, they bail out to someplace safe. Before they understand, before they even get to the real bottom line issues or hard evidence. So afterward, when we're talking to these business people who bailed out, we ask them if they could just hear the question in their mind, what would it have been? And they usually say, well, yeah, I heard it, but I mean, clearly the other person would have felt uncomfortable if I asked that question. So being curious by nature, trying to live our own material, maybe being a little obnoxious, we go back and we ask their colleague. And we say, if they had asked this question, what would your reaction have been? And they often say, tough question. That was a good question, though. I would have liked to talked about that, actually. So often the reason we give for not getting to the heart of the matter is that we, not they, would feel uncomfortable. And the irony is that we wait to establish rapport with the other person before we ask the hard question. And yet it is asking the hard question that can actually establish rapport. See, the challenge with evidence questions, although vital, is that people get lost in the loads of information that don't get to the heart of the matter because that's where they feel safe. They forget that at some point they're going to have a solid business case. It's not as if people know their eventual responses and they're just waiting for you to ask the question so they can tell you. Often they themselves haven't been through the intellectual or the emotional rigor of figuring out the real consequence of their problem or the opportunity. Getting to the heart of the matter provides added value to everyone who is interested in or affected by the eventual solution. Remember the commitment to no more guessing. If nobody understands the true motivation, the difference that will actually make a difference, then it will be very difficult to get a solution that exactly meets the company's needs. And if you're guessing, exactly which needs are you going to meet? So the key to cutting for hard evidence is to be dialed into the difference between soft and hard evidence. Soft evidence will give you a flavor of what's going on. Hard evidence is measured and can convince. As a matter of fact, if you were to guess, sorry to make a guess, what kind of evidence would you say that most people come up with most of the time? Soft. Hard evidence can validate or invalidate soft evidence. And when you present your business case to the jury, they will demand proof that both problems and opportunities in fact exist, and that they have some basis in worthwhile economic return. That's the language of business. And if you can't show impact in the native tongue, you won't know whether you should live with a problem or do something about it. Evidence lets you know whether you should seize the opportunity or let it pass by without a second thought. And that's okay, because evidence can show you why sometimes the cost of the solution is more than the cost of the problem or the opportunity itself. So now that you have hard evidence, you're going to convert that hard evidence into impact, financial impact. And that conversion from hard evidence to financial impact equals conviction.
Okay, so one more time, let's hold up a business think mirror. This is on the evidence test. Here are three questions. One, I see value in people's opinions, their perspectives or viewpoints, even if they are hard to quantify. Two, I regularly build a business case for any solution, and that includes financial numbers, and everyone understands it before we move forward. And lastly, number three, if enough people in the organization complain about something, I think we should spend money to solve that problem.